Welcome everybody to yet another Face Rocker podcast. A little bit of a gap since the last one. The usual gang of hooligans, Freddie here,
Matt,
Dez,
Logan.
And we're joined today by
Harley
of EpicMealtime.com.
Of Lakeside Academy.
It took a little bit of time. We've been moving into new offices in Burbank, for those of you who haven't been following our various Twitter feeds. And we're here now. We have a recording set up, a whole podcast room. So now we're back to cranking them out. And this week, special week, because it is E3, the most talked about event of the season, right, guys? So
yeah,
I heard
exciting.
A thing from a guy.
I've been kind of disappointed in general.
How come, dude?
I haven't even been on the floor yet. Haven't seen it.
How many E3s have you all been to?
One.
Five.
A lot.
20? 20?
Not that much, but like probably five.
You've probably been to five. Yeah,
five. Yeah. Five or six, yeah.
So what is it? I've only been to one. I went to one. It was last year, and I loved it.
Yeah,
it was exactly what I imagined E3 would be when I was like stuck up in Canada, like watching, like refreshing the pages of like video game websites and looking at trailers. And then I went last year. I'm like, this is exactly it.
Well, I guess
exactly
the other,
what
how about
I thought.
This year?
I didn't go this year.
Oh.
Well, you know what the difference is? You know what the difference is this year? Is that all the new consoles are out and all the new games are out, but there's nothing that's really like comparatively playable. It's just like, hey, here's the trailers. Here's all these cool trailers for stuff that's coming out. And you can get that same experience at home just watching stuff. And like, oh, here's a trailer. Just saw it. Great.
You know? I was about to say, I think it's changed where the first time I went, it was you went on IGN. He saw the 240p. You know, video of somebody recording it onto a screen, and then like the news would slowly come out, and it was like going E3 was massive. You got to see all these huge games like, for the first time. Now it's like,
well, the press conferences. Here's the press conferences. Here's everything that was announced at the press conference. Tomorrow, press conference, 7 a.m. for Nintendo. All right, by 8 a.m., here's everything Nintendo put out. Done.
Exactly. And do you want to wait in line to play 1 5-minute demo?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's always that issue of video game. E3 is not a very good form to play video games, right? You have to wait in line for like an hour to try a 5-minute experience, which is pretty lame-o.
Yeah. But real quick, sometimes if you hang out long enough, they'll recognize you from Epic Meal Time. But that's like a 15% chance.
Also, I'm wearing my fake beard.
Yes.
And then on top of that, I just don't think there's anything that exciting out anymore. Like, they premiered two new consoles, and they're both kind of like more of the same. There's
Nobody
nothing
cares.
Too interesting. Nobody cares. We moved on. Like, they had a giant blended projection panoramic screen that was showing off Plants vs. Zombies for iPhone. It was like, really, dude? Like, like, come on. Like, we've moved past super AAA titles. I think it's time to
do something
else.
Do you think
video
games are dead?
No, I think video games have moved on to be something else. I heard just today George Lucas and Steven Spielberg like announced the death of like the super film, like the blockbuster film.
They did
today.
It. They finally buried. They put it in the grave, huh?
Like
Hollywood Cemetery.
Lucas made the call. Spielberg second the motion.
They predicted it. They were like, okay, this is it. Like it's on its way out, which I think is very. They may not be right, but it's very interesting that those two dudes are announcing that.
What makes it a super film?
I just looked at the headline, dude.
$200 million production budget. $200 million marketing budget.
Just don't do shit.
Real quick. I'm hot off the heels of watching like seeing Star Trek and Iron Man 3.
Yeah.
And I know that they've taken like every Avenger and they're giving them their own spin-off movie. And I'm going to see Superman this weekend. I feel like they're wrong.
And
not only that, but I heard that they're like expediting the next three Star Wars. It sounds like we got a lot of big fucking movies in the pipeline.
I was talking about this with David Welch, our friend who may or may not have been on this. I don't know.
Not yet.
But we were talking about this, and it does seem like there's definitely room for those super movies, but it's like these proven franchises like Avengers, like Star Wars, like, and that's all just one studio, but like beyond that, like it's all already proven franchises, and you don't really see any sort of coming out of left field super movies anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
so how do you make
Inception was like the last one that everyone was surprised by it.
But that's not even like a super. So like that's not even like a huge super movie. Well, one thing is a lot of that box office comes from international market, right? That's like a huge thing. Like Iron Man 3 made $1 billion, but you know 700 million of that is market. And when they talk about super movies, even though they're still making a ton of money, once you start going into attendance. it's down. Like nothing still has compared. Not even Avatar compares to like what it was like when Gone with the Wind came out. People were watching that 9 months later, and that's all they talked about.
Well, you had to go see that. You had no other way to go see that. And now
you can go watch Epic Meal Time for 2 hours instead of go watch Iron Man 3,
which is probably a better time. Which is what you should do. Do that now.
Yeah. There's just too much substitution. There's just too much content out there. The idea of this kind of like cultural like event is I think is becoming rare, and they're probably right. At some point, it's also not going to be.
Televisions used to look like crap. There were tiny screens. They looked like garbage. People wanted to go out to see some spectacle. Now people's iPhones. I don't think that's the place to see these big spectacle movies, but a lot of the younger generation, they don't give a shit. Yeah. You know? They'll watch it there and they're okay with it.
Well, also the other thing is that they eventize every movie, whether or not it's necessarily deserving of it. So it's like, it's the new Iron Man. And it's like, well, yeah, it's going to be that. It's every movie that comes out every week is, it's the one you got to see. It's the next one from Blomkamp. It's the next Superman. It's the, you know, so they know that there's a certain number of movies that people will go see on average in a year. So you have to make all of them an event in order to justify going to go see it.
You only read the headlines, so you don't know what they said is replaced by, huh?
I was kind of hoping Dez would research it on his computer.
Just let me pull up.
What they thought then would be...
But maybe we should reel back to... I mean, that was prompted more out of...
Reel back to E3. I had something I wanted to say. I think you're all wrong about E3 this year. Okay. And I don't need to go to E3 to know that. I just want to say that you're all veterans of E3. You're seasoned vets. And I think the beauty of E3 that I thought wasn't necessarily trying a game or playing it. I loved seeing the trailers. And I remember when I was like in university beginning and I didn't really like my program, I used to go hang out at this place called Microplay where I used to work. It's a video game store. And I used to just go and like hang out and like, you know, pop in a different game here and there and like take the official Xbox magazine when the disc mattered that it had demos on it and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And like put it in and like watch trailers of upcoming games and like talk games and flip through a Game Informer. And it was just being in the like
environment
that was so entertaining. It was almost it was like relaxing in a strange way.
And you know what's funny is that E3 has always kind of straddled this really uncomfortable mix between industry only event, because it could very well just be like in a hotel lobby with a bunch of guys in business suits just talking business, because that's big part of E3. But the other half of it is this public, it's not supposed to be public, it's supposed to be industry only, but it is a big public show, why would you have giant 50-foot screens showing trailers? Like, for what other purpose than to show off and to get the press and all that side of it? And what's interesting is that, you know, that public side of it is that, you know, it's a Comic-Con. It's getting to know, you know, it's meeting people and hanging out with that crowd of like-minded people. That's also been doubled up with like PAX and everyone, you know, like from what I've seen, even my experience, like Penny Arcade Expo, it's like, yeah, there's no new games, but it's more fun than E3 is. And E3 has that business side of it. So it's like everyone's milling around the booth for like, you know, Ubisoft, and there's the Just Dance dancers are sitting there doing a routine and you can't hear the guy you're trying to talk to because it's also meetings going on and all this crap, you know, at the same time.
Well, yeah, I think you kind of hit it on the head when you say it's this weird kind of business, but also for the gamers. And I mean, maybe it's just nostalgia, but I also feel like it just feels so corporate at this point. I don't mean to be like the guy's like, oh, it's too corporate, but it's just not exciting anymore. Like, video games, especially back in the day, yes, there might have been other weird, awkward problems, but it's kind of punk. It was kind of like this new system that like not everybody was playing, and you were a gamer, and like it was exciting, and like you had no idea what was going to be coming out, and new games were coming out, and like 3D was new. Now it's like, hey, let's watch a billion-dollar corporation come up with a massive screen, show you the 5 games that they've been working on for 3 years that are the third of the franchises you've already seen, and explain to you about their sales and everything. It's like, I don't give a shit. Like, yeah.
Well, and we should actually back up just briefly, because there's a fundamental truth that I think we're all missing here, which is E3 as experienced by Harley and myself is fundamentally different than E3 as experienced by everybody else. Not to put too fine a point on it, but Harley, what was your experience last year when you were walking around?
I totally, and this is true, like on that note, because I only got a ticket to E3 through Epic Mealtime, and I remember taking a meeting with two different companies, different gaming companies, strictly to be like, yeah, your game, of course. No, yeah, we'll wrap the main character in bacon and deep fry, absolutely. Can you come with me to the lines so I can get in? Can you guide me in?
Yeah.
And it was like leveraging my brand to geek out, knowing full well that these opportunities I was discussing were, it was totally like, I'm talking to a guy that doesn't have the ability to pull a trigger. I'm feigning interest in working with this brand when really it's just like, can you guide me into your room where I could play the game, essentially?
Yeah.
And I won't forget this one time that I went to the Metal Gear thing and I wanted to play it. I'm like kind of hanging. I'm looking at the guy. I'm like, hey. And the guy's like, what's up? I'm like, hey, look at me. He's like, yeah, what's up? I'm like, can I play? He's like, you can get in line and wait. I'm like, you ever watch Epic Meal Time? He's like, what's that? I'm like, number one online cooking show. He's like, okay, listen, the line's over there. You can go stand it. I'm like, all right. I stand 10 feet away. I'm like, this guy's an idiot. Doesn't really know quality internet programming. I'm standing there, and Sam and Nico walk by, and he's like, dude, come on in. And like, they went in and started playing Metal Gear. And they both came out, they're like, so sick. You like, cut the arms and legs off. And then you can cut the arms and legs into a million pieces. I'm like, fuck you guys. Fuck you. Then the game comes out, it gets like a 7.9. I'm like, didn't even enjoy it that much.
Yeah. Wasn't that good anyways.
No, it is kind of weird because we've definitely done stuff under the guise of, you know, it's like business and you're talking about that stuff. But you go in there and like it's just, I feel, it feels awkward. Like it's like you're cutting in line because you go in and the guy goes, hey, what do you want to see? And they just look at you and you're like, this sounds interesting. It's like, great, here, let me here, take this and we'll get you. And you just like, just stand right here. And you're like, you're sitting there and you kind of look around the corner and the line snaking around the whole convention center. And there's that dude in the middle of the walkway who has to keep separating the line out because there's a fire hazard because they're crossing like a walkway. Like, hey, you just wait here. You guys can't stand next to me here because this is a walkway. And then he's doing this all day. Like that's his job. And you're sitting in front of it. And you're just like, okay, I'll just go. And the funniest thing about all this is like, you know, so this year there's not a lot of demos. It's just, you know, just playing it. It's just showing it to you and the developer. They'll have the guy, you know, he's like, I am the lead designer of the game and here we go. I will play a live demo.
Ubisoft. He's talking French.
There's many different places. But but that one, that was definitely Ubisoft. But but here's what's crazy about it. You
like
sit down.
The guys at Ubisoft who are all hearing this like, oh, he's talking about me.
No, he's talking about me. You sit down and you put on the headphones because it's so fucking loud in there that you can't hear anything unless it's through headphones, and the guy's like on the things, and it's all clipped out because he's like, anyway. So he's sitting there, you're watching the game, and you're looking around, and you're like, okay, so this is a little gameplay demo, and you're like, why are there only like 15 people in this room right now? Because they're not showing anything like that hellacious. Like, would it, why not just show this? Like, this is something that you could just put on this giant 50-foot screen you have outside and just play it every.
And
why are we all?
It'll probably be on game trailers next week too. There's just fuck E3. Why are we going? Yeah.
Did you go just already? Stop.
Yeah, I did. I went for. Yeah. I literally went for an hour, and it was the biggest waste of
my
time.
That's what I did too.
Was
one
it?
Hour.
I only went last year, Freddie. What was it compared to last year?
Last year was disappointing in a different way in that there were more game demos, but it was like, here's the next Call of Duty, and here's another. It was like the numbers of like, so like it was like name of game, and then like you'd see the number 4 or 5 way more often than you would want. You'd be like, oh, great, the 5th iteration of this game, and the 4th, okay, great, I don't care.
I remember leaving E3 last year and be like, man, Medal of Honor was awesome. I basically know that was Battlefield. What are you talking about? He's like, does Battlefield run on the horse? I'm like, no, that's Call of Duty 5. I'm talking about Medal of Honor 5. He's like, no, that the one that we played where, yeah, no, that was Battlefield 3. And it was, there is lots of sequels, and lots of them are like floating guns, deserts. And it's a lot of them were that exact same thing. And it just so happened that I love that style game.
Oh yeah.
But I like I said this to you earlier, like that lost me this year.
Yeah.
I was
and
like,
the biggest
no more.
Problem yeah. And the biggest problem with like, especially last year was there was no new consoles. So all the games, you know how long the development cycle for a game is so long. They're not going to be like, here's a new game, new franchise at the end, because they all knew, every game publisher knew this, okay, we're coming to the end of the cycle. We're not going to come out with some new awesome IP at the very end, so let's just kind of stick with sequels until a new one comes out.
Okay, so we started the new cycle this time. I still didn't see anything.
That's
new.
True.
We now have Call of Duty with dogs and mocap suits. Like,
last year, and it goes into exactly what you're saying, Watch Dogs last year was unveiled, and it looked so good. I was like, this has to be
next gen.
I'm like, this looks too awesome, it has to be next gen. So it was kind of a bust because I remember being like, this is really cool, and then it's like unveils, and now it's like the thing that I noticed with E3 this year is there's been about like 3 games I'm like, I saw this last year.
Well, even the new ones, like the new game by the guys who did Ratchet and Clank, it looks like Ratchet and Clank with a different character.
Oh, the new Halo game?
No, Halo. They're like, now that we're not doing Halo, we can do whatever
we want. Anything we want.
It's a universe where a giant object is floating in space above the planet, and then aliens come down.
Is this Destiny?
Yeah. And the object and the object in the sky is not what you think it is. And then you shoot things, and you have these vehicles. It's like,
oh, no, but it's four-player co-op.
But it's four-player co-op. Yeah. I mean, it looks cool.
You can put Halo. Points. You can put skill points on different attributes.
Oh, okay.
It's
not Halo.
Well, did you see, and the one that the former Infinity Ward guys, the Respawn game, actually is out too.
Oh, do they?
Titan?
No, it's something. It's something fall. It's like
Titanfall.
Titanfall.
Fuck you, I win.
Titanfall.
It's a tie. You were like Titan's like no something fall.
I thought
like, Titanfall.
I thought Titan AE and the idea it's that like, the Titan Call of Duty guys are making tonight. A Titan AE
what?
Game.
Second time Freddy did that to you tonight. He's like, no, you're way off.
You're way wrong.
A book? No way, fucker. It's a book.
So
sorry, I don't listen to you.
Well, Titanfall though looks straight up like it was like okay, you're wearing the armor from. Dead Space, and you're fighting in it's Mech Warrior, and it's Dead Space 2.
I'm some people are really psyched about Titanfall, like a certain individual who I may or may not be related to. And he
I mean, it looks cool. I mean,
he texted me. I want to say
you're like you got like a little jump jet pack, and like you flying around, and the whole thing is like there's mechs blasting at you, and you're like a little dude, and you can hop into mechs, and it's
hop
like
onto mechs.
So it's kind of like a it's like two games in one.
FPS,
it's a mech game,
Colossus.
And it's an FPS shooter, and it's a
it's like BattleTech, but you can also be the exosuits. So I got a text, it just out of nowhere, it went, dude, Titanfall. Yes. it's the only game I got excited about.
Wait, with that, exactly how you read that? I was mad at her, dude, Titanfall. Yes. And then I heard like bong water, like sucking from the bong right after that. But every game I looked at, I'm like, oh, this is cool. Like, I see, like, the new Metal Gear, and, like, it was, like, Metal Gear 5. And
featuring Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, it was, like, I was looking at it, I'm like, wait, where is it? I'm, like, trying to figure out the timeline. I'm like, this is stupid. I shouldn't try and figure out the timeline in a Hideo Kojima game. Like, let's just look at this. And they're, like, fast-forwarding the game.
I love that.
Because it was, like, because it's, like, there's, like, you know, you sit down for 20 minutes to go through this level, but really it's
you only need to see 4 seconds of it.
Exactly.
You know what's going on. I'm so glad they fast-forwarded that. I was, like, every game trailer needs to just do this, where she's like, well, you know what you want to see? You want to see the game. Here's a little bit of the game. Look, you can drive on the side of the horse. Here's some stuff. Jumping out of the way. Flashlights, done. Just get on with your lives.
And then there was I thought Watchdog looked all right. I looked at him like, I could see myself, you know, maybe getting bored at a certain point with this. Mm-hmm. You know, just open world games do that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, I remember I was playing the second Dragon Age, the one that wasn't so good, and like, I did this task. I'm like, this game's not so bad. Why did everyone bitch about it? And then I did another task, and it's like, free. You are going to the second city now. I open up my map of objectives to do. And when I normally had like two or three objectives, it was like, you can choose between 50 different things to do. And I literally looked at it and was like, no, turn it off. Like, too much shit. And that's what happens. Like, I see like the new Saints Row, they have this whole like superhero thing going on. And I'm looking at Watch Dogs, and I'm like, I don't have time to get lost in a world again.
Game design. It's just
what I need is like, I loved Heavy Rain. I loved Last of Us, which I'm playing right now, is incredible. That. Like, I love Tomb Raider, and that was kind of open world, but you didn't have to do it that way.
It's not
like, go to the northwest quadrant, now go back to the southeast quadrant, bring me that package, and go over there and deliver
it. Far Cry 3 had that going.
I know.
I hated that. It was like, hey, you like radio towers? Here you go. You can unlock all the animal skins. Do you like hunting? How about extra quests that happen every time? It's just a different experience.
I normally don't like that myself, but when I played Red Dead, I did every single quest.
I totally got into that
game. I played for like 3 or 4 weeks straight. That's all I did.
Really quickly, so as much as I'll always bash all the Battlefields and Call of Duties and all that jazz, I just recently saw the trailer for Saints Row 4, and I'm ready for it. Like, let's do this.
I gotta say something.
Let's make this happen.
You were like, as much as I bash game A, B, and C,
I really like
game 1. You totally referenced the game. I was like, I thought you were gonna be like, yeah, and you would say another shooter, but like, look, I always thought Saints Row.
I just meant, just as far as like games. Generic, like games that have tons of sequels.
Oh, okay.
I've never played Saints Row, but the idea of playing as the president in like an alien world with a dubstep gun, I'm like, all right, you win.
Yeah,
okay.
It's true. It is a little ridiculous. Right. I like I really liked the last Saints Row. Saints Row 3 kind of ruined Grand Theft Auto for me. Mm-hmm. I remember leaving Grand Theft Auto 4 being like, why is it so serious? It was all like, you know, like Russia and the immigrant thing. And I was like, dude, give me a plane and let me just like crash it into the ground and like, you know, just put hydraulics on my car.
Quick side note. Oh yeah,
it seems like it's like Saints Row 4 looks like Crackdown.
Crackdown to me is still like the best. It's just like the most pure. It's like you jump high to get stuff that makes you jump higher, and you drive cars so you can drive cars faster, and it just starts. The game just starts. It's just positive feedback, and it was just it's still like the smoothest open world game
and
of this generation.
You know what you didn't like with Crackdown? You didn't. I don't remember the story at all. No. All I did was run around collecting the jumping.
I remember jumping. I actually just remember jumping.
It was like Super Mario 3D with fast cars also.
Quick
great.
Side note on GTA. One time after knowing and living with Nico and Sam for a while, I called Nico and just out of the blue, I goes, hey, Nico, want to go bowling? And his silence on the other end. He's like, nobody's ever said that to me before, despite GTA 4 being out for like 4 years now. I'm like, no way, dude. There's no way I'm the first person like 4 years after GTA 4 came out to call you and say this phrase.
Let's be honest. It's either you or his girlfriend or Sam calling him. Do you think his girlfriend or Sam would make that type of joke? Yeah. There's no way anyone else would.
Oh, man.
I have to say that out of everything I saw at E3, like there was lots of things I was like, okay, whatever, that's cool, you know? And the one game that I watched a video of and I was like, whoa, it's totally here. I don't know if you guys saw this, Tom Clancy's The Division.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that, yeah.
I saw that 14-minute infographic that they started.
I haven't seen this. What's going
it was,
on?
I'll tell you what I saw, okay? They probably know more because they were on the floor. But it was like, it's exactly the type of game you've grown to hate. You personally.
By that, you mean just a standard, like, everything's tan desert first-person
shooter? It's like, no, it's just there's guns. It's guns.
It's like Splinter Cell.
It's like, hey, breach and clear. Kill them. Okay, shoot them in the head.
Thank goodness these hallway partitions, which are chest high, happen to be here. Cover! You know?
Okay. But, like, I watched the guys play it, and they were, like, playing through cooperatively, three people. It looked really, really good for an Xbox or 360 or Xbox One PS4 game. And, you know, they were playing it and, like, they're showing all these cool, like, just graphics and, like, this happened to be in a really busy area that shows how cool it looks and, you know, and they start, like, they get into a firefight and they're shooting these other guys that are coming out of a building. And at one point, totally in, and oh, I hate this about E3 side note, where they're always like, they're like, so, hey, Jim, how are we looking over there? And it's like, yeah, we're clear over here. And it's like, you assholes, we all know you played this fucking level 80,000 times. And you're acting like
that. It's so good. The Far Cry co-op mode was so good. It's like, hey, Jesse, we got bad guys coming on the right. It's like, I got them. It's like, shut up.
Yeah. You're
play
so
the game,
fake.
Dick.
You're so fake. Like, just talk. I'd rather they be like, no, you know, I know you're gay. Like, just actually talk rather than doing
fake
the like.
It. Fake
they're
it.
Like, ooh, watch around this corner. Okay, it's clear.
I love when they say stuff. I wonder they say when they say stuff like, hey, I wonder if anything's gonna happen. Should we open this door? It's like, God, like that stuff. They're like, ugh.
It's like, let's get some crowd participation. Y'all want to open this door?
They should do that.
And then nothing happens. Like, oh, fuck, we went in the wrong door.
Shit. God, it froze. Oh, sorry.
In the Division, they're like, they're playing, and it's like three people, and they're shooting all that stuff. And then,
and
like,
anyway, real quick, it's like post-apocalyptic New York after some virus has hit.
Sure.
But I haven't seen any zombies or anything of sorts. Just like people lose their minds, I guess. I don't know. But an interesting thing happened was, it was like Chris joined. And it was like, it was a drone.
Yeah.
Like a UAV flew in and started like pointing out guys and shooting them. And in brackets, it said next to his name, Tablet. But they didn't really elaborate on that. They just like kind of, Chris came in and he like shot up some guys. He's like, all right, I'm out of here.
It's like, you only had 2 minutes to play with us.
Yeah, it's kind of like
the second screen.
And actually, in the demo, they actually showed that.
I feel like this guy was like, they're like, now when your friends are playing at home, you know, your unemployed friends that play plenty of Xbox and you're shitting on your lunch break, now you can join them briefly. And that's the only thing I thought. I was like, this is perfect for people that have like real lives and who play with their unemployed friends.
It's ranges of how in depth you want to get with it.
It's a full MMO, is what it is. Also, it's a full open world.
That was the best part.
Constant joining.
It ends. That whole trailer ended. I was like, oh, this looks like a cool third person action game. And then it ended, and it showed all these different battles. And I was like, whoa! Like they really roped me in there. And I always like what I always liked about Ubisoft is. They take like Ghost Recon, they take Rainbow Six, they take Splinter Cell, and then they take Assassin's Creed, and then they take like every aspect that worked in every game and kind of put it towards their new properties. So like Division had like hints of like Rainbow Six Vegas and like hints of like
Ghost Recon
and Splinter Cell, and just came off like really interesting to me. You know, I really liked it.
Yeah. And I noticed that you kind of jumped a little bit on the Xbox One thing. I was actually thinking today, because, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's the X-Bone. X-B-O-N-E is X-Bone. If the marketing agency of Microsoft didn't have a slide somewhere that's like, how we think people will call this, and it wasn't, in quotes, EX-BONE, if that doesn't exist somewhere, like, that they need to be fired. Like, there's so many times you're just like, they better have been pretty intentional with knowing that this is going to happen, because if they don't see this happening, then they're pretty shitty.
I see, like, a 45-year-old dude that only got into games recently, like, in the last 6 years, who came up with that. And he was like, yeah, he's like the XB1, and, like, he's imagining it with the number one, and never ever imagine that people would call it the X Bone.
No, but I'm saying like they probably won't imagine. But there's this like, well, what can we do? It's like I got boned by my Xbox, the X Bone. Aha! You know, it's like there's
it should
no
be
preempting.
Known they didn't even own Xbox One.com. So Foresight was not the big thumbs
no
up
way.
At Microsoft for this one.
Xbox One.
Really quickly, just to go back to the tablet thing. What's really interesting about that is I feel like there was this like. Like, there's always this, like, first penguin thing where somebody tries something, it doesn't work, and then, like, 10 years later, they try it again, and finally, we're finally ready for it. And I feel like there was the asymmetrical gameplay. Like, if you guys ever played Tribes, which was, what, like, 1996, 1997? Like, where you could do the first person or third person battle, and there was, like, the commander dude, right? And everybody's like, fuck the commander dude, right?
Yeah.
And now we're seeing that again, where it's like, you can play UAV or commander, and it seems people are much more ready for that idea. And even then, I feel like outside of not cults, what do you call them? Tribes. When people were clans, there we go. outside of clans, that
outside
was
outside of cults
underutilized. But then, like even EVE Online, like which was pretty much only a Starship MMO, is now working in their like third person planet side thing
dust,
where the people in
dust
the 514 yeah, but the people in the MMO can like totally bomb the worlds in game.
Well,
so you
I like
can
the
get
idea.
Like artillery
Did
support.
Did you see what they're doing with Dust? Which is what it is. It's basically a PS3 like player. Free to play is like the shitty mercenary grunt.
That's EVE Online.
Yeah, exactly. So you as a PS3 player, that's like I just want to play Call of Duty. You play like a first person shooter, but for the weird hardcore PC guys, like you're the commanders of all these legions of shitty PS3 players that do your bidding
that don't have any form of communicating with each other.
Well, you say like you set the objectives that they all kind of mindlessly go after.
I feel like asymmetrical multiplayer works best like locally. Might be also the thing, like, now that we have second screens, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if it's just, like, you are not near each other and, like, one person's just the commander, it kind of can suck.
Well, then what they said
I
about...
Like you, the just, past, you need the to tablet. Know. You need to know your commander.
Exactly.
Like, fuck
exactly.
you. Like, you're some dude in Minnesota. Like, I'm not listening to you. Saying, like,
you need to be able to touch them. You need to be able to grab and be like, you fucking listen to me.
Yeah.
Right.
I place that beacon, you go.
Right. You have to respect your
commander. Well, I mean, because Nintendo Land was, at least for like my group of friends, like a huge hit for quite a while. Like, it was very easy to play. People wanted to take turns and you could switch the tablet around. And I think that sort of like second screen stuff will probably become more common.
Yeah, I'm big on the second screen. Like, I agree. Like, I didn't play Nintendo Land half as much as I played Rayman the Rabbids game, where it was all passing the tablet around. It had such a cool vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I agree. Like, just looking at certain things, like hopping in and out what that guy did in The Division, I was like, that's cool to me. Like, I think that's cool, except it's going to suck when it's like, yeah, the system is $499. Yeah. Go get Microsoft Glass for $499 for maximum. You know,
for
like, I already have a PS Vita. I already have a PS Vita, and they're like, it's the perfect sidekick for a PS4. And I'm like, I like my PS Vita, like, the four games I played on it. Because, like, I really, like, I always wasted my money on games. Always. It's always been my thing. And, like, I do it, and I'm kind of like feeling bad for, like, you know, like my buddy who's like, I gotta decide what I want to get and how I'm gonna get it and like what it's gonna be. And they're like, it's the perfect sidekick for a PS4. And it's like, you ask, if it's the perfect sidekick, put it in the box.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it should be in there. If it's going, if anything
this,
is going
this
to be
sidekick
focused,
is flawless. They go together perfectly.
It's barely worth playing
but
without
we don't actually put them together. Yeah.
And another thing is, and this is just on what you were saying about how there's a commander now and how gamers are might be like a little bit more accepting of that. I believe, well, I don't believe, it's the fact about it. When I was in the 11th grade and Xbox came out, the original Xbox, and PS2 had already been out for almost a year, and like I had to decide if I wanted or not, because a lot of my buddies who like I played football with and stuff just didn't play video games, just wasn't and I would go and I would like talk to like the two other people in my grade that played video games that were contemplating getting an Xbox and they already owned a PS2 and whatnot. Like, if that conversation was heard by anyone, it's literally like, gay. Oh my God, you're so gay. Why don't you guys go have your gay game conversation in the library where gay people talk about gay things? And that's literally.
Is that still around? Like,
no,
like
it's not.
That's gone.
It's not.
No,
it's
definitely gone.
I'm just saying, when I was in high school, like I'm talking about 2000, 2001, that was there.
Yeah, I would agree.
So, like, at around 2006, I'd say the 360 did a lot. A game like Gears of War, I believe. And I have to say, like, knock them as much as you want. Microsoft's marketing is incredible, because they were like, Gears of War will be the new Halo. It will be our new Halo for the 360. It'll be the new franchise. And I'm all like, huge Halo fanboy. I still am. And I'm like, there's no way that's going to happen. And then they came out with that Mad World trailer. Mm-hmm. And I know it's a great video game trailer. When my dad calls me up, he's like, I was watching the football and this video game came on with the song. Mad. He's like, what is this game? It looks really interesting. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, there's so many games like that. It looks like Unreal Tournament, really. Like,
come
you
on.
Can't think it looks really interesting. But it was just marketed in such a way. And then they did it the same with the second one. And then they had that deal. It was the second year Xbox was out, 360, and it came packaged with Gears of War. And the Xbox had a $100 price cut at the holiday season. So everyone I knew, people that were not gamers or that would be like, I only get an Xbox to play NBA 2K. Like, they were getting it, and they were getting Gears of War. And they were all putting it in their consoles. And they were like, whoa, this game's cool and easy. It's easy. Because I think, like, a third-person shooter is much easier for someone
conceptual,
who's green at video games.
That's like a conceptual level, you know?
Yeah, instead of like a first person shooter, I feel like a third person is easier. Like, I have friends that are like, I like when you could see the guy. I like when you see the man that you are.
Yeah, I was actually curious. Is that, I mean, I don't know if you've, is that like, I don't know if you've done, is that true? Like, or like cognitively, is it easier to play a third person game than, or is there no difference?
Third person, actually, like, there's been scientific studies.
Yeah,
do you actually empathize better with a person? But I'd actually think for this case, if it's a lot of bros who've been doing, like, Madden, which my understanding was, like, most...
The big thing, yeah.
Like, the big jock thing is Madden. The similarities between Madden and Gears of War is much closer than the similarities between Madden and Halo, just from the over-the-shoulder third person, right?
And just, like, they're big guys.
They're big guys. And they're
slamming into walls.
Like, there's, like, Capture the Flag things where they're literally carrying around, like, something that's shaped like a football, being like, hoo-yah, and they, like, slap each other on, like, the robo-ass. Like, it's like, definitely, like, a thing.
Well, they definitely... Xbox definitely made games cool.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying is, like, I think... like, you know, PlayStation always, like, you go and look at the PlayStation wall, PlayStation 2, it was like you see a game like Katamari, and no one that's never played games before is going to be like, I want to play that, even though, like, 98% of them would probably love it. Everyone loves that game when it first came out, but you're looking at it, you're like, this is some weird Japanese shit, I'm not going to fucking spend money on that. But, like, I feel like Microsoft made it really accessible, because we're only talking about, you know, Americans, Canadians, Americans, you know, North Americans. Not in Asia, it was always cool for games. That's its own thing. But, like, when the Xbox came out, it's like, this is, like, you know, the first time that you're playing a console, like, where it's, like, made by Americans for Americans. You know, it wasn't like
some weird Japanese
toy. Yeah,
thing.
You're choosing between Nintendo or Sony, PlayStation, where they were both very Japanese-centric. Like, you look at the PlayStation lineup, it's like lots of little boys that look like girls as the main character on the box. And you look at that, like, I get why, like, you know, these people, like, ignorant people in my school are like, games, gay.
Yeah.
Well, like, look at, like, the stars of the Final Fantasy games, and that's PlayStation. But, you know, like, they took Master Chief and made him, like, a Mario equivalent, you know what I mean? And it was only after the fact that games kind of took, like, a badass vibe. And it's now that people, like, we're at the point now with this system, people have been playing for a long generation.
Yeah.
This, like, generation is, like, 7 years long. People have been playing for 7 years. That means you're a hardcore gamer. Like, everyone is a hardcore gamer that's looking at these systems. They're ready to command or be commanded. They're ready to wear headsets and, like, coordinate. Like, no one's shy to talk to someone online anymore.
I feel like that's why maybe I don't give a shit about E3 anymore. If you're gonna, you kind of said toys. Mm. I think games have become cool, and maybe that's why E3 is so confusing to me, because I feel like the whole game industry is in this weird, confused state that they have no idea what they are anymore.
Like the dubstep
gun. Games are toys, or, well, I guess you have like
a whole Nintendo thing.
Well, that's the other thing. Yeah. I was about to say I'm a big Nintendo guy, but games aren't fucking cool, and now when I go into a thing, it's this weird, bizarre, they've overreached that now every trailer has to be those pretentious, like, artistic, like, slick, cool motherfucking thing you've ever seen, because we are the coolest fucking industry out there, but it's just a bunch of fucking dorks making games,
they are still dorks. But I think the big thing is that you point out, like, when the Xbox came out, it introduced this whole new audience to video games, like, basically bros. And yep. I mean, the Xbox One definitely, like,
I think you mean broskies. It introduced it to broskies.
Well, they're definitely going for it. Like, Xbox One's basically acknowledged that, being based, like, the whole, now you can do your fancy football with it.
Yeah.
And you can be like your pet dog in Call of Duty. It's like bros are like, yeah. but what's ignoring is there's been a whole new segment of the population introduced via smartphones, which is basically, yes, all the people who don't identify as gamers. Like, sure, we've built up this giant army of hardcore gamers, which E3 is still attending to, but there's a vastly larger population.
Way larger.
Letterpress, Plants vs. Zombies,
Farmville.
Words with Friends, Farmville, and it's like, that is so overwhelmingly larger and more profitable that you get the weird dichotomy where it's like Call of Duty right next to Plants vs. Zombies, and you're like, one of these has a much larger margin than the other.
And they play games more. In many ways, you could say that those casual gamers are more hardcore gamers. I would also say that all those casual games have a lot more complex actual gameplay than something like fucking Call of Duty.
But the problem is, E3 is not built for those people, and so there's this weird thing now where it's like, honestly, that's where the money's at. And E3 is like looking over at that, being like, how do I change my marching?
How can
I be over there? And they're like, they're marching. They're basically like just dancing to dubstep as like machine guns are firing in the air, and they're looking over at like Plants vs. Zombies just bathing hanging out with moms and like small children.
You have a Quantic Dream like doing something with Ellen Page talking about like the new thing of art, and then you have a bro come out, say Call of Duty, and then they come out and be like, hey, we make all our money on casual games, and they have some celebrity come sell it. It's like this bizarre, like, what the fuck? Like, can you imagine Cons or like Sundance if that's how it works? It was like, hey, here's the new Pixar film. By the way, Kanye's here just to say hello and show off stuff. It's like, hey, by the way, there's a new thing in art now. Let's talk about this new, like sensory fluid thing. Hey, by the way, have you seen how fucking rich and deep these new colors are? Like, it would be nonsense. You have no idea what the fuck's going on.
I would love to go to that. Where Michael Bay comes out and talks about art with Kanye, and then they just explode stuff in front of you while the people dance.
Snoop Dogg is.
Yes.
That's what E3 must. I mean, that's the only thing I like about E3 is the press conference. I every year I watch all press conferences because there's some sick fascination about how these companies will try to portray themselves.
And by the way, if you want to just like punch yourself in the mouth, go to any of these legendary.
That's what I want, Freddie. I just want.
Well, that's the case.
I was
Logan.
Wondering what I was pissing today, and I wanted to punch myself in the mouth.
I have the prescription for you, and that prescription is go to any one of these E3 parties that happen afterwards.
We went to Ouya. Oh.
If you want to go to a place where it's just like, everybody here is trying so hard to be cool. You know what's cool? Let's get lasers and girls on tightropes.
What did we go to?
More dubstep.
So are they still doing the girls thing? Because I thought there was a pretty big blowback on that.
At PAX, we went to one, and it was like, there was like a girls like on these
the nude girls hanging
strings,
from the
really?
Ropes on the ceiling.
But there was that whole thing
playing.
With at the last the IGF like party where
yeah,
there was
and then
girls
what happens
in bikinis,
is all the Kotaku commenters
it was an issue. There
yeah,
was, like,
then
a big
all the
issue.
Kotaku commenters complained that what are you talking about? Men are just as
well, that's
just
the
sexist
whole,
towards men anyway.
That's the whole men's then, right. The weird yeah. men's
oh.
right.
And the developers
thing.
And the developers like, oh no, we got in trouble. And then like a month later, like fucking nobody remembers. Fucking nude chicks, let's bring them to our party.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that nude chicks are still happening and stuff like that. I'm surprised that it's still dubstep. Like right? My thing, and this is how I know I'm getting older, is things happen, and I'm like, oh, this will be over soon.
Like,
and
I'm
then, like,
glad that this will
and
be
then
over
I'm living
soon.
In it still, yeah. And I'm like, you weren't supposed to be here this long. You know,
you've
like,
overstayed your welcome
yeah,
in my life.
It's totally like it's equivalent of like even when the Harlem Shake was happening, and everyone's like, oh, Harlem Shake videos. Like I remember watching it and be like, oh, this will be over soon.
Yeah, that's
tomorrow
how I felt.
At 4
p.m.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it was like 4 days later. I was like, we're on the last leg of this, and then it's like 3 months later, like people still releasing and like still getting like 15 million views, and I was like, God damn it. Should have done one of these fucking videos.
Yeah, you're always just like, oh man, that boat's long sailed. All right, well, let's keep moving on. And then you come back like 2 weeks
it
later. It's like this boat is this boat's still in the harbor loading things up. It's like, should we get on this? It'll be gone any
it's
second.
It's like there's definitely not any good seats now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, oh, man. And yeah, and the casual thing is funny because I was like, I remember my dad would he just played Tetris and Dr. Mario on the NES. He loved those two. These old games he would play. He played them like 15 minutes at a time. That would be.
I thought he was really into Angry Birds.
Yeah, and then he got super into Angry Birds. Like my
and
mom.
Didn't your mom used to like text you strategies about?
No,
Angry Birds?
My mom would be like, yeah, your dad's like, it's like it's keeping him up at night. He's just laying in bed just playing Angry Birds. And I'm like, I came
I
home.
Feel like
once.
I know so much about your parents.
Yeah. He came home once. I was talking about Angry Birds. I'm like, that's so weird. I just would not expect you to play that game. He's like, Freddie. I know how to kill all the pigs. I was like, no, man, that's it. Like, the moment
he speaks?
Yeah, a little bit.
No, he does not speak like that.
He has an accent.
I'm going to... Freddie, I know how to kill all the pigs. No, he does not talk like that, Freddie.
He has an accent.
He's like a Team America
your
character.
Dad. He does not talk like the bad guys from Episode 1 Phantom Menace. Like, he's not...
The Trade Federation.
The Trade Federation.
Like, he's not...
Oh,
the Jedi. Oh, my God. This is the Jedi.
I remember being in the theater and like looking. I remember Thanks. Being in the theater and being like, that's weird.
That's pretty racist.
That's something.
And then
John
Binks comes
back
on
then too.
And,
you should yeah. be like,
no, I remember being young.
Can
like,
you imagine all pumped for Star Wars? You already been waiting for years again, and like it's the just, first scene is just a guy in blackface. He's just like, what?
Yeah, I was like,
George Lucas is racist, huh?
Who yeah. is in blackface?
Nothing.
Oh, George Lucas. This is around the same time I was referencing before. This is about 2000, right? 2001.
Yeah.
I remember like sitting in the theater at that part, and like leaning over my brother. Is this racist or are we really stoned?
One of our friends has one of the most amazing stories of all time, which is like one of his like childhood buddies.
Is this
like,
Lucian?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like one of his childhood friends is like, yo, like when the prequels come out, we're going to stop whatever we're doing anywhere we are. We're going to go see it.
It should be noted, this is like 1995 and they're like roommates as freshmen in college and they've like made this vow.
And so this episode one comes out and he calls them up and then like they're living on opposite sides of the country and like
he has
we
a
made
wife.
This vow. Yeah, we're doing it. It's like, assuming like they drive cross country to meet each other halfway and they're dressed in Jedi robes and lightsabers and stuff. He's like, I've never felt more betrayed in my entire life.
The way he described it was before, like everybody's in line before episode one, and they're like doing choreographed lightsaber battles in front of the line, and everybody's like, "Woo!" And they're like, "I felt so powerful." And then as they're watching it, they're just feeling destroyed. And as they left, they were ashamed that they're still wearing these robes. And, like, Bum has like Darth Maul makeup on. And it's just, like,
this is your fault.
Yeah, yeah. It was just like,
you know, it's really funny. I remember like watching this lineup. It was like a newscast. And they're like panning by. Some guy like turns around. I'll never forget this guy. I totally see his face still. He like pulls his shirt down and he has a Darth Maul like face tattoo
Fuck.
On his back.
Oh my
and
God.
And it's like in line for the first week. Cause like, I don't know if you remember the trailers. It's like, you're like, whoa.
That guy's awesome.
Who is this guy? And I am so happy. I'm going to be discovering who he is for three long movies. And like, this guy's got the tattoo on his back. And you're like, of course, badass dude.
It's
that's
the
guy.
Darth Vader.
Yeah. No, clearly. It's the next Boba Fett. He's there for a second and you love him in the trailer. And he gets murdered really fast, and it's like that guy's got Darth Maul on his back.
Before he saw the movie?
Yeah, it was in line. It was in line. It was like, line up for it.
Oh, that moment must have been amazing. We just died. He just like looks. He's like, oh my god.
I guarantee he was like, he'll be back.
He'll be back.
He'll be back.
He's like in the car and he's like, yeah, well, Boba Fett died and they wrote a whole bunch of fan fiction about him and there's games based on him and comic books and this tattoo's still cool. You guys don't know. We don't know Star Wars like I know Star Wars. FYI, on the Star Wars note, as soon as Disney bought it, I was like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
No. Yes. Because, like, it's not going to get any worse
than it already has.
I just want it to come out.
Yeah, you just want
just
more.
Just give it to me. I'm the type of guy that I'm never like, whenever they're like, they remade Total Recall, and they're like, oh, why are they making that again? They're going to ruin the old one. And it's like, no, they can't.
They can't. I don't get that either.
I love that movie. And when I love a movie, no other movie will make me not love it anymore.
I got into this whole argument. People were like, "Why? How can they just destroy the extended universe?" I'm like, because it'd be a fucking pain in the ass to have to write movies around the extended universe. Like,
it's well, like, and also, they didn't destroy it?
Yeah, like, that's what I said. I'd be like, and what are you talking about? It's not like those books are erased. Like, oh, but they won't be canon. It's not as powerful. It's like, you realize not it's all fucking powerful. Fake, right?
Oh, the canon
you realize,
is,
like, nothing. There is no canon because there's
the
no
canon
such thing.
The canon is so ridiculous. Like,
so you know that Jedi is not a real thing, right?
Yeah.
No, ever since George Lucas was on John Stewart, and like he said, I forget who he said, like, they, I think it was Han Solo or something. Like, what planet does he come from? He's like, nah, Trowitz, which was John Stewart's last name backwards. And like, that is canon. That's canon now, though. Like, that's official. Like, it's George Lucas's word. So that's how it is. So that's totally what the name of the planet is now. That's everything. Like, it's written around that because George Lucas said it. And he was just like,
it's
fucking
pretty,
around.
It's pretty awesome to have that sort of power over nerds.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. it's a weird. It's like I don't quite. It's equivalent to, I don't know, in board games, like house rules. There's some people who's like won't. It's like, but these are rules. They've like you can't undo.
But how cool is it to be the game master?
Exactly.
Just be like, my decree is that your world is rocked.
I want to say because like, guess what? You could just say Boba Fett. You could just say, you know what? Boba Fett didn't die because I didn't want him to die. The end. Like you could say that. It doesn't fucking matter. Like there's no such thing. I don't know. The whole idea
it must
of
be
like
a group.
Obsessive
it's
canon.
Like it must I'm, be a group. It's like the more people who believe in that, the more true it becomes. It must be something like that.
That's why I love Dr. Who.
It comes
canon.
Out of George Lucas being like midichlorians done.
Exactly.
I'm not trying to like start like a whole hour other of podcasting here, but I'm used to that because I'm a fan of Marvel, mm-hmm. and that's exactly what Marvel is. Marvel has been like the same people, the same stories retold by different people for mm-hmm. like 25 years. My entire life, it's been the same stories, and now with the movies coming out. It's like it's the same thing, but you just get to watch it again and again. And in this one, it's like, oh, Wolverine's older now, or Wolverine was married, or Wolverine did this
different.
Or that. And it's like it's just always different. It's just you have this awesome character. There's so much depth, and it's like a lot of it is kind of like when you realize halfway through, you're like, oh, they are going to integrate this aspect inspired by another author at this late into it. It's just it's kind of cool like that.
Even franchises that don't have canon, like it's a weird thing. Like it's one reason I like Doctor Who, and it's another reason I like Zelda. Zelda's just the same story every time. And even that game, which clearly has no story or canon.
Oh, they put
no,
the fans desperately.
There's actually very solid canon for Zelda. There's a whole book that
came
out.
But you realize that people
so
are
clear.
I know, I have the book.
Okay.
But
all right.
They essentially very clearly also said this is after years of them just being like, the games are just they're the same thing, and they just kept asking and asking. And then Nintendo, even in that book, says, like, this is just a hypothetical representation of what all the games could be if you tried to tie them together. Here you go, fans. Give us $20.
I think Shigeru Miyamoto, when he was 17, actually wrote all this canon out.
So even when canon's not there,
there's always
like,
plan.
Nerds and geeks feel the need to, like, have to make it make sense rather
internally
than just take
cohesive
the story.
Universe.
Yeah, internally cohesive, which is fucking meaningless.
On that incredibly cynical note.
Yeah, let's wrap this one up.
Do you have like a final question or something? Like,
no,
I feel like
just,
we just need
some
sort
final
of conclusion.
How about that app that you have where you're going to talk?
Oh, yeah. Have you guys heard about speech jamming?
That sounds lame.
Oh, is this used in the
give it the logo.
Did Rhett and Link use this in their Good Mythical Morning podcast?
They did. Okay, this is the last thing that we'll
do. Do it for Logan.
Okay, Logan, I'm... Dez, pull up explain what it is, Matt. But Dez, pull up the
So all speech jamming is it, they play back what you're saying back into your ear really loud, like a split second after. So imagine you're talking, you're just hearing an echo. This is a really strong echo.
Okay.
but then try to keep talking. Like, you're just going to try to talk to Freddy, and within about 2 seconds, you're going to sound like...
All right.
Because you start hearing what you just said, and then your brain, it screws up your brain. Like, you can't...
I think I'm going to be able to power through this. But we're going to have a conversation. I can't just talk.
This is going
to
be good.
I need something to talk about. Like,
tell us about your day or something about E3.
Hold on. I'm trying to pull up the Canadian Constitution.
Headphones on?
Why?
For Harley here.
Test.
Oh, for what? Oh,
wow.
For him to read it?
Ow. Turn down.
It needs to be loud in order for you to like no longer but, hear
it. Doesn't yield.
Here you go.
I'm at the point of tickle.
Yes,
am I still on?
It's already working. All right, so it's plugged in for people.
I'm going to read the Casa Action Act.
I want to try this too. Okay. I saw this podcast and I was like,
an act for the Union of Canada, Nova Scotia, and New Brunswick and the government thereof, and for purposes connected therewith, as the provinces of Canada.
Until you can't power through it. You can't power through it.
You up.
You can't power through it.
Okay, hold on.
I was totally like,
the only way you kind of try is to go really slow.
Give me something that you want to read.
Give me something you want to read. Tale of Two Cities.
Yeah, give me a review of something or like okay, Tale of Two Cities. That's good.
We'll do a review.
Tale of Two Cities.
Yeah, that's good. Give me the Wikipedia page for beers.
You, Dickens. give me a video game review or Tale of Two Cities, whatever.
Just go to shit.com.
It's gonna be loud. Okay.
A beard is the collection of hair that grows on the chin, upper lip, cheeks, and neck of human beings and some non-human animals. And humans, usually non-pubescent or adult males, are able to grow beards. However, women with hirsutism may develop a beard when differentiating between upper and lower facial hair. A beard specifically excludes the mustache.
Okay, wait, make him just talk. Don't have him read.
Of course, of history. What did I sound like? Because I don't know if I'm reading it properly.
You sound vaguely robotic.
Okay.
Yeah, it's robotic. It's monotone, but you sound fine.
He powered through it.
Just have him talk.
All right, well, I'm hanging out here with my good friends, and we're podcasting, and I totally start to feel really when I'm not reading something, and there's nothing there for me to take a
it just messes you up.
Like,
it just throws you off.
You get, like, you hit these walls. You hit these walls, and then you hear yourself, and that's where you fail, when you hear yourself.
And here's the thing, because I'm really bad at this, and when I
you don't know, you can't get anything out.
It's called speech jammer?
Speech jammer. It's pretty fun.
Oh, I'm sorry, you guys are still listening?
Yeah. All right, so for the two people remaining listening, thank you very much for listening to our vague, insane speech jammed ramblings.
Yeah. And thanks for coming out, Harley. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Harley. I had a great time with all of you. I like you guys a lot.
All right. See you next time, guys.
Bye-bye. Later.